Hello, everybody. Welcome again. This is Beyond Winning, the Soul of Coaching. And we're about ready. We finished up season number one, and we're about ready to kick off season number two. And I got to tell you, I am really excited about the guest that we have today. You've heard him before on our podcast, but this is kind of a new, environment that we've got here. We didn't know about this time last year, maybe in the summer, when we were talking with Coach Clarence Johnson and Coach Joe Badgett. They would go on and as they were preparing for their seasons, seasons of a lot of challenges, a lot of ups and a lot of downs. But they held true to their form and all the concepts that they brought to bear. And one day, you know, they look up, I look up, I'm looking at the Sunday paper, and I see Coach Joe Badgett has been recognized by the Charlotte Observer as the Coach of the Year for the boys in Mecklenburg County. And then I look a little further, and lo and behold, there's Coach Clarence Johnson on the women's side, who is Coach of the Year, to follow up, you know, from his Coach of the Year in the conference from last year, and again this year. So I can't begin to tell you what that, you know, it just how excited I was as I sent him a text and of congratulations. And not only did they have were they coaches of the year, they also had players that made the all county team. So you know, I just couldn't begin to, you know, I was just overwhelmed. I sent them texts of congratulations. You know, they were very gracious. And then Coach Joe Badger said, "Well, hey, why don't you get us on together?" And I've been talking to Studio B. I said, you know, kind of looking to, you know, for that jump start to get us going. And I said, there it is, right then. So, you know, Coach Joe Badgett, Coach Clarence Johnson, congratulations, welcome to Beyond Winning. And brothers, you know, this is all right. This is more than all right. You know, just so glad that you guys are here, and really admire, you know, what you guys have done.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. This year, it was a blessing for us, and then everything just continued to come on and on and on. So I'm real happy of the success of actually both programs, you know, because we've got history.
Yeah. Right?
And it's just amazing how all of, you know, comes together. And I think I mentioned earlier the fact that when we talked about this dream, we talked about the fact that we wanted to somehow put it together where we could recognize, you know, the young coaches that are doing things the right way, you know. So that was a big concern for myself and for Sarge as we, you know, talk with other guys.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, I'm just been a very blessed year for us, and to share any kind of stage with Mr. Godfather is, man, it's a blessing. I mean, I kind of sitting back and I realized that it was 29 years ago that Clarence Johnson walked up to me. I don't know if I was playing ball or was in the gym or something. He said, "I need you to coach a group of 16-year-olds. I was like, "Man, I'm not coaching nobody." And so, you know, so to see that he seen something in me that I didn't see in myself, and, you know, and that tree, you hear coaching trees all the time. When you look at the college level, Duke's coaching tree, Carolina's coaching tree, but Clarence Johnson's coaching tree is beyond reproach, and the number of us that have come through under him, AAU, high school, and all of that, he gets nowhere near the amount of credit that he deserves, and people are just not aware of his impact, because what he's done through us is what allows us to reach these kids, and at the end of the day, that's all it's about, and that's all he's been about from the first time I met him. I mean, I remember crying when he left to go back into college, right. And then I remember celebrating when he left college and came back, and I'm sure he wasn't happy, but we were, you know, so, 29 years, man, that's a
deep.
That's pretty special.
Man, you guys represent what, you know, really what we were trying to get at this program, you know, the soul of coaching. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, given the environment, I mean, you see what's happening with young people out here today, and coaching is such it's a noble pursuit. I mean, it is, and it plays a place in our community development. I've been listening to Nikki Giovanni a lot, and mm-hmm. she really honors the Pullman Porters, and, you know, and how their role in, you know, kind of the civil rights movement and all. And while, you know, I mean, we got two different things here, but coaching, you know, you guys are on the front line. I mean, you guys are right there. As we've talked before in this program, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys usually have that insight, you know, are kind of like that first responder for when things start to go off track with some of these young people.
Exactly. And you know, and what folk don't realize is it's more than just wins and losses. I mean, you got to manage administrators, the general public, you know, it's so much, and, you know, that's why we're fortunate that we have good guys working with us, you know, because it's just so many things that you got to manage, because the game has changed in reference to how hard you can coach, you know, so we've had to adapt a little bit because the kids have changed. So, you know, a lot of times we've had to, you know, mellow out in certain situations where normally we would go at them pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Hey, you need to get this right, you know. So the approach has changed, and, you know, we're coaching more than just them kids. I mean, we're coaching parents, administrators, you know, general public, and all that.
Yeah.
A lot of times folks don't realize that.
Right. I think that's the biggest piece of it. You know, so at the end of the day, you get judged off of what you do in 4 8-minute quarters. Mm-hmm. But 4 8-minute quarters is pretty much the most irrelevant piece of what we do, mm-hmm. you know. And it's kind of funny because you know, parents would come up to you after the game about who played this. Okay, well, we practice every day, so mm-hmm. so we had choir rehearsal every day, and right. because your kid didn't get the solo on Sunday,
right.
we don't know how to direct the choir. So, you know, so but you're engaged in so many other things. And, you know, like I said before, when we talked early in the season, you know, this is something that people don't understand, that it's a calling on your life, that, you know, God said this is what you're going to do, because it ain't something we sign. You look at financially, or, you know, some of the tough conversations you have to have and things like that. It's nothing you want to just sign up for. Mm-hmm. But then you can't walk away from it.
Right.
And that's the tough part, because I know as long as coach has been doing this, and, you know, my 16 years, it's been times that I don't really have to do this.
Right, exactly.
You know, but you can't do that. You can't, God won't allow you to walk away from it, because yeah. your call is to help these kids.
Yeah.
And so.
That's a real good point, man. And the fact that we're dealing in, what really amazes me is we're in such a me society.
Right.
Parents. It's about my baby. You'd be surprised. It's not really about winning the championship or winning the conference. It's my baby.
Right.
You know, and so us as coaches, we got to deal with it. You're almost trying to get the parents to buy into. You know, our ultimate goal, you know, we're looking at the big picture. You know, right. And you got to come for this ride with us. And there's a lot of them, you know, have a tough time dealing with this.
Yes.
You know, they're just so focused on their child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach, you made this a very good point. You had last year, you had four, I think, Division I players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only a few of your players came back, you know, this year that, you know, played, you know, had that kind of talent level. And, you know, my sense is that this year really challenged you as a coach, you and Sarge, to really get the young ladies to, I think, believe and what they could accomplish,
right?
Maintaining that high level of expectation,
right? And also, they struggle with the fact that we had one young lady that was major,
right?
And come on for a ride, because she's gonna help all of them. She's gonna help all of y'all,
mm-hmm.
you know. And nowadays, kids, it's hard for kids to buy into that concept. If I eat, everybody eats, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it took them a long time to manage one of the young ladies' success. But once they bought it and looked, hey, she can help us all get in school.
Right.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but that's, you know, that's how it is.
Coach Badgett, I look up And here, y'all can't see, live stream can see, but I got the article of the picture the day after when the Carmel Christian team won the championship. And I got a picture here of Coach Badgett, and his expression says it all. Coach, talk about you know, not only this, but your season. And hopefully you got this picture.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, but all the pictures they would give me with a frown face instead of smiling. But, I mean, everybody loves that picture. We had high expectations basketball-wise going into the year. I mean, we had five kids that signed D1 in November, and we had a core group coming back from state championship team from last year. So the expectation was already kind of high for this group. And so it made it kind of, the challenge was, you know, just like Coach was saying, is everybody understanding that as a unit, you're good. Yes, all of you are going to college, but as a unit, you're good. And if you share and be about each other, you know, Philippians 3 was the verse that we've been talking about all year, was, okay, be humble, be about everybody else. And like Coach said, then everybody's going to eat. And so to get that group of kids to comprehend that, and it's kind of like even what Coach was saying with the different personalities of the kids, these kids really liked each other, but you could still see them kind of, that I'm the man, no, you the man, I'm the man. And so you had that going on. So it was trying to manage that, and then, you know, manage the assistant coaches that they have at home. Because that's the biggest challenge. You're not shooting enough. No, you're going to college for free. So it doesn't matter whether you shoot. College has said, I'm going to play this position. Well, we're in high school. We're not college. You train for what you're going to be in college. In high school, you do what it needs to be done for this particular team. And so that's part of the strategies and things that you have to manage with a group like this. You know, we had good leadership, you know, and it was fun, but it was some work. It was a tough job, because I told the kids at the start of the year, it's no pressure on you guys. And so all the pressure, it's no pressure on me, but I'm your out, because if you lose it, mm-hmm. then I can't coach. Right. If you win it, you were supposed to win it anyway. So so it's no pressure on you. Just go have fun and play basketball. And, you know, and then once we got on the road traveling you know, and the kids start, you're in the hotel rooms and you're eating a lot together and different things like that, you could see them connect. And then, you know, then we had a little dip late in the season where they kind of got tired. So, you know, so I had to give them some time off. And, you know, like you said, without a partner, you know, we had a tough game at Davidson Day where we just didn't play well at all. And it was late. It was our last regular season game. And, you know, and I mean, like Coach was saying, you have to dial it down some. Okay, well, Coach Kirby, we were at the end of the game. We hadn't even come, the game hadn't ended yet. Coach Kirby says, don't say nothing about that game after the game. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, they just played the way they played. I got to go in here and let loose a little bit. He's like, don't say nothing. So then we walk in the locker room. Coach Kirby says, don't forget what I said. Don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So I walk in, change clothes, didn't say a word about that game. Then gave them the rest of the week, gave them a whole week off, and they rejuvenated themselves, and that's what gave them their state run. Yeah. And that's on Coach Kirby, because Coach Badgett was finna go throw back old school coach. And I'm really going to have a strong, we're going to have a real good conversation about this one.
Right. See, you know. Well, see, and I like what you just said there, because when I saw the coach of the year, and I saw you, or I saw CJ, I said, they got good assistants.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
They got good assistants. And this is how that's how the assistant comes into the picture.
Right. Because we got head coaches.
Right.
That's simple. We have head coaches that understand that what we're trying to do is to help kids. Mm-hmm. And so...
But also, I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, when you're a leader, you have to know how to use your resources.
Right.
So sometimes we've got to, okay, you know, we don't know everything. And just by listening to what Kirby said, that was a learning lesson for them kids. Probably that whole week, yeah, they're cooling out. They're in the back of their mind, they're like, oh boy, when we get in the gym, it's on. But that was a process that you know, the Kirby said, if we go at them this way, we, you know, we might be even better once we get them back. Right. You know, the antennas will be up a little bit more. So I think it's key too as leaders that we got to take advantage of our help and the wisdom that we have on the sidelines.
Right. You have to be. You have to allow yourself to be coached.
Right, exactly.
You have to allow yourself to be coached.
So even coaches have to be coached.
No doubt about it. I can call him in a second.
Yeah. How would you handle this situation? You know, you got to be humble enough to understand all of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a. I saw something on Twitter today, and the coach was basically saying, "Parents, stop with this. Go get yours. It's your time." I mean, especially when, you know, you're playing in front of, you know, coaches, mm-hmm. you know, the college coaches in the stand and all that kind of thing. And I think it kind of got to one of the things that you were saying, you know, buying into winning mm-hmm. versus buying into, you know.
Me. Yeah, unfortunately, too, a lot of times when college coaches come and watch you play, they're not even really caring about who wins and loses the game. They're just looking at what Johnny, you know, what was Johnny doing? But in the back of their mind, they still want kids that are going to win and buy into the right. program. But ultimately, they want, you know, they're looking at that particular player, what can he do for our program, how athletic he is, and, you know, and things of that nature. But the better coaches on that college level, they're looking for kids that are athletic and can help their program win.
Right.
You know, because you can get the most athletic kid in the world, but if he's not a winner, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Coach, you mentioned with the, you know, the kids genuinely like each other. You got a talented group of kids. You know, Coach CJ, you got a different kind of challenge in there that the players need to coalesce around that one obvious leader mm-hmm. from that end. Now the season is done. They won a championship. Okay, now it's time for them to get prepared to either come back for another season or go on to the next level. That requires some coaching too.
Right, no doubt. And then with some of the changes with the recruiting rules, which I love it because we've always done that anyway. Mm-hmm. Coach has too. We've always been about development, skill development, as well as you know, character development and spiritual development. So those are three things that we've always done. You know, and he's done it with me as a player, and from the time he met us, it's always been that. So, you know, you're trying to get the kids that's going to college. You got to get they're in the gym, working on different programs and things that the college coaches have sent them that you got to try to manage through. Some of them you look at and it's like, why you got you doing that? But at the end of the day, you still have to manage the kid through that development. And then you got younger kids that you're, you know, working with as well. I think that our advantage has always been, and I noticed it's kind of everything mirrors without even having conversation, but it always mirrors what you've been taught. So our advantage to our program has always been that our college kids come back and they're always in the gym. Okay, so we don't have to do much talking in the spring and summer, because when you have a Keyshawn Woods show up, you know, a James Demery show up, you know, Josh Price is, you know, you have those kids that show up to work out. They run the workout. So I don't have to say anything to a sophomore in high school mm-hmm. because there's a guy that's got a degree from Wake Forest and a master's from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to listen to him before you listen to me anyway, you know. So that's the piece that helps us development-wise to really kind of expand our reach mm-hmm. per se, and then even this year with some of the coaching changes, like with Donovan going up to Appalachian State. Okay, well, they had a coaching change. All right, well, the new coach they hired, we had two kids from our program that started for him this past year at Presbyterian. So before the coach had even called me to talk about Donovan and make sure he was staying and all that, those two kids had already called Donovan and told Donovan why he needed to stay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's because that's what the program teaches. Their job is to help develop those kids and help them through the process that they've already went through.
Yeah, and that's with the girl on the girl's side. I think it's good for the players to come back to let them know this is business.
Right.
I think senior year was hard. You know, these 5 a.m.s that you got to come to. Mama and daddy can't wiggle you out of this, or you're not going on some kind of vacation when we're supposed to be practicing during the break. And I mean, that's the big thing for me is when the ladies come back and tell them that college is a business.
All right.
This lovey-dovey and, you know, and you're too hard and don't speak to me this way, you know, that's over. That coach that recruited you and hugged you and kissed you and cuddled you, when they get you on that college campus, you know, it's their way or the highway.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, you better be ready to show up and make it happen.
Yeah, mama's sweet potato pie won't help you through this. It's a job. And I tell our kids, I said, man, even with us as coaches, you have a lot of recruitment pressure on us, thinking that we're supposed to make a phone call for that kid. Mm-hmm. And no, the kid's going to have to play, you know. And so at the end of the day, you know, we got to protect the program for the next kid.
Right.
So a college coach ain't going to lose his job because I told him to take my kid.
Right.
You know, so trying to communicate that is, you know, that's a challenge in itself. You got to get out the sense of entitlement that we have to coach, that we have to deal with now, has changed so drastically even in the last, you know, 4 years.
Right.
It's been a major shift in how much entitlement is out there within the family structures that we deal with. It's tough.
Especially like in this environment, and there's two things both of y'all said. Y'all have a process, y'all have a program, and you got so many of these young people that have bought into it that now they're self-perpetuating. Mm-hmm. They come back and they spread the word. You know, this is what, I mean, you know, you a descendant of Coach CJ, you know, and then, like you mentioned, a player like Keyshawn, mm-hmm. you know, some others that, you know, are really telling them what's going on. And it's especially important to talk about this in light of this current environment that we have today, where, you know, facts don't matter.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Facts don't matter. And I'm gonna get your assistance in here in a second, but what message are you, you know, you talked about character development. I mean, I felt compelled to send my children a message when this college thing went down. You know, rich, you know, folks who already had, you know, scamming to get kids into college.
Yeah, to get more.
Right.
Get more.
Yeah. Right.
But they sent out a serious message. I mean, the fact that these are very rich and influential people that are going through these type of tactics. If kids and parents to sit back and just watch that should be a learning process right there. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But you guys are delivering a message.
Yeah.
You know, with your players, you know, on character. And it was long before this. I mean, this is a part of your program.
Right. Because you have to, because at the end of the day, you know, we've been fortunate enough to have a couple of kids that's playing in Europe. They get to extend their careers a little bit. But the biggest thing is you can use this basketball to just relationship-wise, business-wise, you know, just it can do so much for you if you respect the game, respect others. You know, I know him because of an orange ball.
Right. Right.
A relationship that's 30 years old.
Right.
Because of an orange ball. You know,
going back a little bit when he was mentioning, I don't want to take all the credit because actually Jeff Mullins told us about him and his buddy. You know, so it's one person. Mm-hmm. Jeff Mullins goes to Mr. Stockwell, Mr. Stockwell comes to me. I said, well, I know him. You know, so it's, you know, a lot of people are a part of that puzzle that, you know, you just don't know, but all because of a basketball.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm.
And that's the piece that these kids, they see right in front of them. Right. And like Coach said, we see out there.
Right.
Okay, out there is we have to develop you all three ways so that you can deal with Wells Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
You can deal with Bank of America when you're interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
Out there. It's not entitlement out there.
Mm-hmm.
You got a degree, but it's 50, 60, hundreds of kids that's going to send their same resume in there. So what's going to make your resume stand out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so those are the relationships and things like that to where, oh, he played basketball for Virginia Tech. Let me look at his resume a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Where it might be just, okay, that's a good one. I'll put that one. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are the things that the kids don't comprehend that's so important with their character and academic-wise and, you know, things like that to where they – so many of these kids with the technology now, they don't talk.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. I've never seen a job interview where you didn't have to open your mouth. You know, so those are the things that we have to teach in character. You can have a conversation with somebody because those are important pieces. Because I hadn't coached an NBA player except for Jeff back then. That was however long ago, but since then,
mm-hmm.
and coached one. So they got some kids got to go to Europe a few, but all of them graduated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now my job was to make sure that, and coach job, make sure you can go talk to people and communicate. Okay, Mr. Sockwell was a big time businessman here.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I called the office. This was last year, I think. I ended up calling the office for something, and the lady, the receptionist there, remembered me from coaching for him.
Right.
And I met her probably twice.
Yeah, Linda.
Right. Yeah. She remembered me.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I remember you, Joe. You coach with Coach CJ.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the things that the kids, we see and understand how significant, how important that is. But we got to get our kids to understand that too.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they don't get it.
Fortune 500 company.
Right. You know, and so you don't, a lot of them, you don't hear it until they'll call you back.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll call you. I've had them call me after their first 2 weeks of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know coaches had them call. I'm like, man, coach, you wasn't lying. This ain't no joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then the other rewards that we get all the time is we start getting wedding invitations and, you know, all those type of things, and that way, and that's the reward. Say, okay, something I said or something I did impacted that kid that I coached 10 years ago that he sent me a wedding invitation,
mm-hmm.
or she sent me a wedding invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the rewards that we look for that really, really help us and let us know that we're doing something the right way.
Making it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Coaches, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now. We're going to get in, you know, we're going to get in the rest of the team.
Right.
You
right.
know, and let them, you know, we got Coach Straight No Chaser Kerry Sargent, and then we got Coach Donald Kirby. So everyone stay tuned. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll be back on the other side with a whole complement of coaches in here. This is Beyond Winning. I'm Richard Lancaster. I'm in here with Studio B, Coach Clarence, CJ Johnson, and Coach Joe Badger. Everybody to Beyond Winning. This is Richard Lancaster, and now we got the second half of the team in. We had on Coach CJ and Coach Badgett, and now we have their assistants. They've been on the program before, and you've heard them. Coach Kerry Sargent, commonly known as Coach Straight No Chaser, and then Coach Kirby Donald, who has been on the program with us before. Gentlemen, welcome back to Beyond Winning. And congratulations on the achievement with the Coach of the Year programs. You know, Coach Sarge, you being the faithful assistant and bringing that important input, as well as you, Coach Kirby. We heard about your contributions from the head coach. head coaches in the last segment. So we just wanted to get you guys' take on it.
Well, I appreciate you having us back, Richard. My contribution was not as solid as Coach Kirby's contribution because they won a championship. But we did have a great season, and we were fortunate again to see Coach CJ win Mecklenburg County Coach of the Year and also the Charlotte Observer Coach of the Year and the IMAC Conference Coach of the Year. So we had a good year from that aspect, but as far as winning championships, we didn't get it done this year.
And that's, you know, I'm sorry, Coach Kirby, but, you know, and we talked about that in the last segment, so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I want Coach Kirby to say something there.
It was a fun season this year, working with Coach Badgett, seeing his vision for the program, and dealing with the pressure of having such a senior-laden team. So it was a lot of fun and kind of vibing off of each other and, you know, bringing the best out of the kids, you know, focusing on the kids, helped them understand the commitment necessary it took, you know, and, you know, God blessed us to be able to bring home another title. So it was a good year.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that I want to focus in on. You know, you guys had kind of two different sets, two different teams, two different kind of circumstances. You know, you had, like you say, a senior-led team. You know, probably an expectation that y'all should repeat, you know, from that end. So, and that brings a certain level of challenge. You know, Coach Sarge, on one hand, you had a lot of talent in the previous season who, due to your successes, due to their successes, moved on to college, all in, you know, Division I programs. You came back, you had one or two players who had experienced that success, one player in particular who was a little bit stronger.
A little bit.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, for what you guys got out of that program, I said these cats are coaching. That level of coaching, you know, that was good for in a 20-25 game season, 30 game season, you know, rolling out of bed, UNC is always good for 15, no matter who you got.
We'll see next year. No, I think as a team, we did accomplish a lot. We had five seniors. All those young ladies going on, four of them going on to play college basketball. One of them going to Winston State as a trackster. I think what you said is true. I think people recognize that we didn't have the same kind of talent that we've had in the past, and yet we were able to challenge for the conference championship. You know, we beat the number one team in the Sweet 16 that a lot of people said couldn't be beaten. We knew better. Mm-hmm. Actually, we should have won the championship had it not been for Deja Lawrence, who was Mecklenburg County Player of the Year, the Conference Player of the Year. Had she not been injured in that championship game, I think we probably would have won that game too. Other people might question that, but I think people recognize that as a program and Coach C being the head coach, what we were able to accomplish based on what we had and, you know, what we had coming back, we did a good job. But the truth be told, Deja Lawrence is something special. Mm-hmm. And she's one of those once-in-a 5-6-year players that, you know, she did a lot for us, and the other girls stepped in and followed her lead, and we challenged a little bit. So, yeah, but, you know, Coach C, just to be honest about it, he has a way with he has a tenacity in terms of getting kids to play and play together and be together as a team. This year, I think he was a little bit more stressed than normal, but but, you know, we made a good show. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Coach, just talk about, the things that you have to do, you know, to kind of get your teams to, you know, play up to that level of expectation. The things that were involved, at least in this season. I mean, were there any things that just really you kind of looked at it and said, this is the ingredient that I got to introduce a little more than other ingredients that I do over the course of the season?
I think this year for us, it was more focusing on the little things, competing, preparing yourself, and to submit yourself to roles. Because everybody, you know, we had five seniors all signed to go play in college, and any of them could have been a 25, 30 point score on any other team, but to have to settle in and to accept their role and their piece, and how all of them sacrificing for the greater good of the program makes us more successful. And then trying to channel that into what the college is going to be like and the real world is going to be like. So that was really, really big, big piece for us. And then handling expectations. You know, a lot of them had to hear how great they were, how good they could be. And you get everybody's best shot and get them to focus in on those little things that mentally sometimes kids don't really pay attention to and not prepared for.
I think Coach Gerb hit the nail on the head when you're talking about trying to convince kids to know what their role is and to accept that role. And whenever you can do that, then you end up with a championship like they did. It's very difficult, no matter what the talent level is, to make them understand that, you know, if you do this for us, we'll win a championship. Even though you might want to do something else, but this is what we need you to do to win a championship. And I think that's coaching. If you're able to get them to do it, I mean, that's how you get to that level. And a lot of times you have so many obstacles to keep kids from understanding that. A lot of outside noise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The fact that they can score 25 points a game, you know, if you tell them that that's not what you need, then you're holding them back. Mm-hmm. So to be able to do that collectively as a group of coaches, I think that's a major accomplishment. And for them to do it back to back, I'm jealous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you both mentioned something about, you know, really the persuasiveness. And that, again, speaks to your roles as coaches, and in particular, in light of this environment we're in now. You know, this environment, this kind of, you know, facts don't matter. You know, I can say anything and somebody's going to believe it. You know, we talked a little bit about that at the end where, you know, this one scheme that was exposed where, you know, those that had resources and fame and access and all and were able to game the system to get people into college. Talk about how in that environment, you know, how you're persuasive and get them to channel out that noise and go for, you know, what really counts.
I think the big thing is you got to be able to relate to your kids, and you got to be able to see their vision for themselves and the goals and the dreams that they have for themselves. Then you're able to take what they see and channel it in the right direction to understand by doing X, Y, Z, you're going to be able to get to that end result. A lot of times, I think some coaches make the mistake of you're telling them the right things, you're trying to get them to do the right things, but it comes across to the kid as you're trying to change me, or you're trying to, hold me back, or, so to speak. But when you can approach it from the angle of to get what you want, you know, this is how being a part of something bigger than yourself is going to get you there. I think makes it a lot easier. I mean, that's one of the things that Coach Badger does a good job, and we do a good job of just trying to, you got to know your kids and get them to understand that we're not trying to hurt you. We're actually trying to help you get to where you're trying to go. You know, and this is the road, you know, you got to take to get there. And so that's kind of helped us, and by getting them to see that way, then they kind of start seeing the noise from other people that, maybe I don't need to listen to this person or that person, or maybe I'm a little too hard on myself in this situation or that situation, because the coaching staff and the player is all going for the same thing. We're all on the same page, wanting everybody to get what they want. So, that's just kind of how we kind of do things.
I think Coach Kerr, and that's an excellent point. I think what makes us unique, he and I, and we go back years collaborating on players, but he was a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Myself coaching AAU. So we have a little bit different perspective than a lot of assistant coaches.
Yes.
And then if you got two people or three people on your staff that has the same vision of going in the same direction and understands these obstacles and can get kids to understand this stuff, then it helps the program. Whereas it's just not the one person telling them the same thing all the time. You got several people that you hope that the kids respect, that listen to what you say, and they can take it from more than just your head coach and make it happen. So I think that's important. And since you're talking to the assistants now,
I knew it was coming.
You want to talk about our contribution to what's going on? You know, we don't get our names in the paper. I tell Cedar all the time. But you know, on seriousness, I think it means a lot, because you know we each have that experience one on one with kids as head coaches.
Yes.
And we can share a different perspective, I think.
Yeah. When I saw that that the announcement was made about coaches this year, I said, this is a team. They had those assistants there that there were times that those assistants stepped in and said, Coach, think about this. Joe Badger gave us an example in the last segment. Coach Kirby, end of the year, you guys played, I think, Davidson Day, not particularly your best showing, and you stepped in. Talk about that, and talk about what your thinking was there.
Well, that was just a night, just a bad night. They had an unbelievable night shooting the ball. We missed some rotations defensively, and we had some players that were banged up, and I think some kids were looking ahead on the schedule, and it was just kind of a tsunami effect. All the elements was right for us to get rolled that night. And in my experience, my 21 years in coaching, is that there's nothing good you can say after a loss that's really going to make a difference in how the kids are going to see it, because they're upset anyway. And there's and you got to make sure you know what you're talking about too, because then you got another fire to put out. So my thing was, I just wanted to make sure Coach Badger knew, don't say anything. Because as coaches, we're natural leaders. We want to come in and try to fix it right away. And so I just reminded him the last couple minutes of the game and after the game and then going into the locker room, just don't say anything. And I think not saying anything, and then
you had to tell them three times.
Yeah, three times. Yeah, three times. Because I just know how it can be, you're caught in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I think that break helped us come back and be ready for that stretch run and that playoff run. And the kids were more perceptive coming back into practice to fix the things that we didn't do well that I don't think could have necessarily been that way. And that's just the kind of relationship that we have, that we suggest things that we see, to each other all the time for the good of the group, we don't care about who gets the credit or anything like that. It's, we're all trying to push for the same thing.
Yeah. Straight no chase, I know. Now, you're not shy about saying what's on your mind as it relates to, and you've said this in programs before, C's got something going and you see something different and, you kind of interject and put your flavor on it, put your sauce on it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I probably interject a little too much. But I, you know, it's just, I'm old and I can't help it. I just say what it is. You know, the thing is with C and I, we've been together so long. We like an old married couple. And during the time, we're both pretty intense during games. I'm a little bit more low key with mine than he is, but the intensity is still there. But yeah, I say what I need to say when I need to say it. And then if he goes with it, he goes with it. If he doesn't, I'll just look at him funny. You know, like, should have done what I told you. I can tell you, though, there's been times where I said stuff that caused us to lose, I think. The first game of the season we had last year was a big game against Hickory Ridge. We hadn't lost a game in Mecklenburg County in 3 years, and the last team to beat us was in this area was Hickory Ridge. So we scheduled them the first game of the year, and everybody had been talking about it for a long time. I think we were ranked second in Sweet 16. And so we played them at home, and it was a very close game. And I made a suggestion to them at the end of the game to put someone in the game, and that person I suggested he put in the game allowed a rebound that cost us to lose the game. And all he said was, "Oh, we should have kept the other." And all I can say was, "Right, I messed that one up. That was on me." And But he listened, and he still listened. Mm-hmm. Even after I made that boo-boo, you know. You know, that's a part of it.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to take those chances and make those suggestions. And hopefully there's enough trust to warrant the coach, you know, listening to you and doing what you suggest. Doesn't always work, but that's how you get to the point that you are. Is you gotta be willing to make those suggestions.
You gotta get out there and be in the game and do some stuff. Let me put this one out here, and then we're gonna bring the rest of the coaches back on in. So you know, you go through a season, you know, like you've had, you know, you experience what you experience. What's your message to the young people? You know, as they go on, some are going to go to college, some are going to, you know, they'll be back for next year. What, you know, and how did they receive, you know, the accolades that you all got as coaches of the year?
I think our kids are pretty home kids, you know, outwardly. They deal with public and things of that nature. And I think the biggest message we try to bring across is, you know, don't stop dreaming. You know, keep dreaming, keep pushing. And, you know, and get everything that God's got for you out there. And, you know, to everybody that's coming back, our thing was, why not do it again? Who said you can't do it again just because you lost these people? And then our message to our seniors was, okay, you played in high school, why can't you play in time in college? Now it's time to dive in and use the lessons that you've learned and how to be a role player and your work ethic and to just keep pushing, never stop growing, you know, never stop trying to be better, you know, and keep God first. We tell them all the time, keep God first, you never be last. And, you know, and that's the big thing that, you know, we hope and we feel like we've gotten across to the guys that are leaving and the guys that are coming back. And, you know, we don't stop, you know, just because the faces change, you know, the mission is always the same.
I guess our message has been, my message in particular, is that you have to stay humble. You have to believe that there's more work to be done, that you haven't achieved until you have achieved. And so you have more to do, and that what we try to do at Mallet Creek is to prepare you for life after basketball, life after college. We try to teach life lessons that are going to help you as an individual, as a person. you know, how to be respectful, how to come to work every day. And so that's sort of our message. We want to prepare you. Don't listen to the way I deliver the message. This is not always sweet.
But it's great.
But listen to the message.
Trust in my stuff.
His stuff can be substituted for just about anything.
Yeah, trust in my stuff because my stuff worked. That's what I remember. You know, hey, and I wasn't on the squad. You know, I remember that one.
Because you probably heard it every day in practice.
Hey, we're gonna take a short break. We're gonna bring in the head coaches. We got a couple of topics that we'll cover. Again, you guys represent, you know, and I said this to the other coaches, you guys are the front lines dealing with these young folks, and the pursuit of coaching, the position of coaching is a noble profession, and you guys bring it every day. You know, year in and year out, you're on the scene and doing that. And that's I think, I mean, you know, the pride that I took in that, you know, especially, you know, you guys getting that kind of recognition. That's more important. This is Beyond Winning. We're talking with Coach Kerry Sargent and Coach Donald Kirby, and we're going to be back on the other side of the break and bring in all the coaches and cover a little bit more ground. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you in a few seconds. Take care.
Good job, Coach. Don't
listen to the mess, the delivery.
Yeah.
So.
They say don't listen to how I say it.
Listen to what I say.
I think probably what I may do is I may, I guess I can operate, maybe swing this around.
Come on, yeah.
And then I may operate.
I'll slot that mic over.
Okay.
That way I can have it. So, it's good. Once we dope this joint out, as I was in mix, we gotta dope it out. We got it. You know, it's gonna be ready.
They put together something pretty nice here.
This is really nice.
Yeah, we have been talking about it for a second, you know. And
oh, girl, it's really nice.
Sugar.
Yeah. Hold on, fellas. We're going to do a little bit of shifting here so I can get everybody on the camera. I kind of want to do it on my camera.
Uh-huh.
On my phone.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Because I'm going to... We're going to make it an episode.
Yeah.
We got everybody in here. We're going to make it an episode. Put some light.
Yeah, you did some off.
Congratulations.
Too much work, bro. Can't keep up with these dudes with all this money now.
Yeah, they get mad though. Can't get the ones that know that you can help.
And that's my point. That's my point. You got the ones that can't play. They still think they
can. You want to be on video? I don't have to be.
You
don't have to be. No, you can. Now, what about headset? Can I do it without a headset?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just do whatever. Yeah. Are you gonna?
1, 2, 3, we're going live.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Beyond Winning. I'm Richard Lancaster, and now I've got a team of coaches sitting in front of me. And just a little heads up, y'all, this might be a prelude. Studio B and I have been talking about, you know, getting a barbershop or something, you know, setting it down. We might even just do it out there, you know, just kind of, you know, do that little riff off of what, you know, what LeBron has going on. I think you guys and there's some others that can add to it. I can't tell you how proud and happy I am to be here today with this assembled group of coaching talent. And like the nature, the title of the program, Beyond Winning, these guys are influential in the community in terms of the young people that they touch. You will know some of the young people out there that they touch because they're the ones that are out there that are showing up every day, they're doing the types of things that they're supposed to do. Lo and behold, I had the great pleasure. I walk into my workplace one day. We hold a lot of banquets. I go in, they have a program called Hood Harget. I just go in and kind of step in and see who the speaker is. Lo and behold, there's Coach CJ, and one of his players is being recognized with a scholarship. The people that came to talk with her, and I think this was what, back in maybe October or so, mm-hmm, CJ. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, you know, those are the things that you see. But there's also some players that are out there. They show up to practice every day. They make their contribution. Maybe they don't get all the accolades, you know, but they're the ones that, you know, in their small ways, they come back and thank you guys, and they participate. This has been this has just been a pleasure. Once again, congratulations to all of you coaches for being Coach of the Year. That is a real honor. Let's pick up back on some of the things that we were talking about in the last segment. And I really want to talk about, especially you guys' impact on young players as it relates to, you know, this community. And CJ, you mentioned the fact of, you know, preparing some of your players now to go into environments, you know, and compete in environments that they hadn't before, you know, i.e. they're coming from, you know, an environment where, you know, resources are pretty good, but now they're going into environments where it's not.
One of my things is, what really happened was, anytime we prepared to go to West Charlotte to play a basketball game, I like to share with our team the history of West Charlotte. You know, if it wasn't for West Charlotte, there'd be no Mallard Creek, there'd be no Hopewell, there'd be no Vance. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in our circumstance that we forget. So I always try to explain to them. Sergeant and I used to have this tradition where we take them to the swimming pool. It's a swimming pool inside West Charlotte. It's about 120 degrees, and we stick them in there, and we usually play West Charlotte in February, and you know, we kind of try to share with them, you know, because of the folk that walk these hallways, y'all are having the luxuries and the amenities that you have now, and they look at me like, you know, sometimes it doesn't digest, you know, what it's all about. But I always like to, share with them why I, you know, my thing is, it's nothing like playing a Friday night game in West Charlotte. You know, they'll look at me, well, what, you know, what's so special about that? And I say, you'll see it when we get over there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Coach Badger, you mentioned the situation too, that you get your players prepared or exposed to, you know, a situation, circumstances where they might not normally get to.
Yeah, we like to do a lot of community stuff with our guys. But to tag on Coach CJ on West Charlotte, I think the second team that you had me coach was the defending. They just won the state at West Charlotte.
Right. They were like 15 years old.
Right. And so you couldn't tell them nothing. You know, I'm sitting there, don't know what I'm doing. These kids just won the state. So, Coach McCullough, and it was still the same principles.
Right.
It was still the same principles. And so one of the things that we do, we do a lot of Special Olympics. You know, we've been to some homeless feedings and, you know, different things like that, that, you know, to get the kids. You have to be humble when it comes to this. And if you are humble, then you're going to get the reward, you know, and that's Bible. You humble, you're going to be rewarded. And so we try to do a lot with our kids and get them engaged. And the kids love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have photos and videos when we go down to downtown at the school for Special Olympics, and we do it ain't a basketball, we do bowling. Mm-hmm. We do the Special Olympics bowling tournament. And man, the kids eat it up. They have a lot of fun down there. So that's, we do a lot, we try to do as much of that as we can. We're actually talking about this year going on a a mission trip where we actually play three games while we're gone. Mm-hmm. So the school's trying to dive in on that side and, you know, and do that, those type of things with our kids.
Coaches, this season was not without, you know, one event that was fairly significant, you know, all the way around in the community. You know, me being kind of understanding, you know, kind of how this tournament thing works, it used to be, I guess, the first three games in the high school, you know, the public school side, you know, used to be local games, you know, for the most part, local games. And then you went to Greensboro for the regional semifinals, and then you played your state game in Raleigh or in Chapel Hill. And I think probably rightly so, the association recognized, hey, look, a lot of these, you know, a lot of these local games or a lot of these regional games that are played in Greensboro are played by, you know, teams that are basically in the same area. So therefore, now you have West Charlotte and Audrey Kell that comes up. And the whole situation that came up around that in, one, the venue of the game, and then the unfortunate set of circumstances with the, you know, with the Twitter that the young kids sent out. What is it that you tell your kids in that situation? How did, you know, what, how do you use that as a coachable type moment?
Well, I think what we tried to do was use it as bigger than basketball and like and try to compare it to life. It's the way society is, you know, and you're gonna have people that relate to where you're from, people that may say things, you know, that can be taken offensively, the disparities in the facilities and things of that nature aren't always fair, but life isn't fair either. And so how you respond to those situations define what kind of a person you are and how successful you are coming out of it. And so you know, we try to talk to our kids about, you know, that's why you have to be careful with the things you allow said around you, the things and the culture of your music and different things that are said. Just kind of understanding that everybody doesn't always understand everybody, whether it's socioeconomic differences or racial differences or religious differences, sexuality. For the rest of your life, you're going to have to deal with things as they come. We just wanted to look at how do you handle that. You know, you can't, evil for evil doesn't work, you know, so you got to rise above it, you know, and how you handle it, how you come out of it determines whether or not you're a successful young man or not.
I suppose you want me to respond.
Well, you know, I was waiting. I knew there would be a response.
At the risk of not being allowed back on the podcast, I'll have to modify my comments in this circumstance. But I was at the game between Audrey Kell and Independence. Very, very highly contested game. Independence was up by two, and Audrey Kell made a three-pointer at the end of the game, one by one, sent him to somehow, I don't know what it was, but gave him a chance to play West Charlotte. I think part of the situation with that West Charlotte that really riled them up a little bit more was the fact that they had to move the game from West Charlotte to another venue. And that upset people as it was. And then you come out with these comments from this young man who was a outstanding player. He could, you know, he was killing. I think one of the things that's going to be a struggle for him is how people are going to see him, you know, after these comments. I think he's going to have to adjust to how life is. It's unfortunate that the climate that we live in right now is where people think they can say and do anything they want to and get away with it. And I think that the political climate that we live on is part of the reason that is. And you know, his parents were real deliberate in their response to what happened, and I think they did a good job in coming out and, you know, disavowing what he had said and let people know that he was not taught, you know. But I think Coach Kerr mentioned a little bit about how the environment, the school environment, and his peers say and do things that allows him to think it's okay to say what he said in many cases. So, you know, what we do and what I do with my teams, I don't allow my kids to say certain things in front of certain people or period, because I understand what the struggle was and I understand what those words mean. And I think that if you say those words long enough and you make people feel comfortable about it, and then they'll say, well, I say this to my friends, they didn't have a problem with it. So then you put it out on social media and everybody's going crazy. Like, what's the problem? My friend's cool with it.
Right.
So I think that may have been part of the dynamic in that situation. I hope the kid understands what happened and understand the hurtfulness of what he said. And hopefully he can learn from it and hope somebody give him a chance to show himself to be better than what he was at that particular time.
All right. Well, first of all, let me say this. I want to give West Charlotte much credit, because when they came to Vance, they handled themselves with awesome character. When I pulled up to the parking lot, the line was already from the door to the second parking lot at Vance, all West Charlotte people, all West Charlotte colors. And I know folk came to see it be ugly. And the West Charlotte folk handled the entire situation unbelievable, because I was riled up before I got there. You know, I went into my militant bag, you know, and Sarge had to calm me down and said, well, the rule is the gym is too small and it got to go somewhere else. Right. But I got caught up, you know, but New York came out of me, so you know.
That's where that assistant coach came in.
Oh, no doubt.
It's not an assistant coach. It's just the second head coach coming in. You know,
second head coaches in front of us.
But once I got myself, you know, because I was on a whole nother level. I started getting on social media, not saying anything disrespectful, but just want to challenge conversation, you know.
He was on the edge, though.
Yeah,
I was on the edge.
I had to remind him that he was a head coach in Charlotte Mecklenburg.
Right. And in fact, if you sat in on these meetings, that you know, if you don't have X amount of seats, you got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But again, I want to give a lot of credit to West Charlotte alumni. It was unbelievable. Once we got in the gym, the atmosphere, the old school alumni, the current students, it was just unbelievable. But what amazed me the most is when I watched, I got to give the Audrey Kell coach credit too, because what he decided to do, well, we're going to go out and we're going to warm up 30, 40 minutes before the game, because I need to get my guys accustomed to this environment. They're getting ready. Because first of all, everybody was looking for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, the school system and everything said, well, no, that ain't gonna work. He's not gonna be able to play. But I gotta give that coach credit, because he brought his guys out early and said, look, y'all need to get out here, y'all need to warm up, y'all need to stretch, y'all need to do your routine and get used to this environment, because it's almost like Cameron Crazies. I mean, it was gonna be hyped up in there. So I give them credit, but most importantly, I give the West Charlotte alumni credit, because they handled themselves awesome. When the AD told them that they had to move over, you know, it's a designated amount of seats, because they came in, they sold the place, you know, technically they sold the place out. It was really no room for Audrey Kell. But when he said, okay, look, this is what we got to do, got on the loudspeaker and said, we got to have a designated amount of seats for Audrey Kell. And they had, because they could have got hostile, and they handled it well. So I got to give them credit on that.
You know, the other unfortunate thing about that whole situation is there are several African-American kids on Audrey Kell's team.
Yeah.
And those kids played hard to get to that spot. So what do? You put them in a bad situation. They want to win a state championship, too. Yeah. They thought they were capable of winning. So all this controversy takes away from them preparing to win a basketball game. And a lot of them are seniors. They may not get that opportunity again. You don't live your senior year but one time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And your opportunity to get, you know, that championship. So he not only did he hurt the kids at West Charlotte and the West Charlotte family, but he hurt Andre Kell. He hurt the kids on his team. And he's a junior. So what is he going to do next year? You know, so that's a very tough situation. Hopefully it's a lesson learned in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I know I listened to some of the quotes from Coach Davis, and you could tell in some of the statements that he made press-wise and different things like that, that he used it as a way not to motivate basketball. So I think it was enough fire going there to where they were going to come and play hard. That's what West Charlotte do anyway.
Right.
But you could, the development, he used it as a way to develop those young men. And you know, because you know, I have a challenge with whether the word has an A at the end of it or ER. To me, it's the same word. And you can't, the kid, this generation of kids, no, coach, that's cool. It's got an A in it. No, it's not cool. You know, and so, and you can't use it and buy your songs and your language to around everybody or anybody and then expect them to think that it's a, they can't use it.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot with that word. Because when we were coming up, it meant one thing, and that was it.
Right.
Well, no, did he really mean it? That no, that's where you said it, and it started. That's how.
And it was a fight.
It's gonna be that exactly where it was going, real quick.
Right.
You know, and so now you had there's two different words. No, it's not. Yeah. You know, and so you're punishing, and you would think that the kids from Andre Kell, those kids would know the character of their teammate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. I think that they're together all the time, just like our teams are together all the time. So if this kid has a character flaw like that, then I think his teammates would know about it, and I think maybe that could have came into the equation to kind of help with some of it. You know, me and Coach Kerr would talk when it first started with before the statement was even made or before that part went out. I was like, why didn't he just move that game to Smith?
Yeah, that conversation did come up.
Right, because that's the first time we said, well, you move to Smith, then guess what? It's still in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and the Hornets had just upgraded a lot of stuff at Smith. It's like, man, move that game to Smith, and you're everybody be fine, you know. And so then the next day, I think, that we had that conversation, the next day, here comes the screenshot of the kid and what he said. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was over then.
I think it ignited even a larger conversation. I was at an event at Myers Park, I think it's United Presbyterian, mm-hmm. and it was on West Charlotte. You know, it was a pre-scheduled deal,
mm-hmm.
and one of your players was on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, proud to see that when I first met this young man, he was just entering the school system, and he went on to get his master's. He's a principal now, and he got his and he's going to get his PhD. You know, so I really just went to see him,
mm-hmm.
but it was a discussion on West Charlotte. All West Charlotte grads, a judge, a current student. The player I'm talking about is Eric Turner,
mm-hmm.
And it was really, I mean, once again, gratifying to see, you know, the advancement from that end and. And again, once again, your coaching, you know, your coaching was on display there.
Eric Turner was on my first team.
Wow.
Was my point guard.
Hmm.
That was so long ago, I almost forgot his name. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah,
he coached in our program too. Who was the judge?
Trosh. Okay. Judge Trosh, yeah. And I didn't know this, but Eric's parents were principals.
Yes. Oh yeah,
you
big
know,
time.
From that. Yeah, so I mean, you know, like they say, the fruit don't fall too far from the tree.
Eric's dad was principal at North Mac.
North Mac.
Back in the day when North Mac wasn't like it is now.
Well, he commented on that. He said they were the rebels at that point.
Right.
You know, yeah.
He was at a lot of tough spots because he was at Hawthorne too.
Yeah.
And a Smith alum. Smith alum.
There you go. All right. Okay. Coaches, you know what? I got 500 other questions I could ask, topics I could raise. We've covered a lot of ground here today. Let's wrap it up. We'll go. Let's hear from the head coaches that support the other head coaches first. Just a parting thought. I'd like you to describe your season in the honor, maybe in five words. just five words, and we'll wrap it up. Coach Kirby?
That's a good question. I'd probably say perseverance, faith, forgiveness, persistence, and passion. I think those five words pretty much summed up the ride we went on the entire year. And we had a lot of passion, we had a lot of perseverance through the ups and the downs. We had a lot of faith in each other, even when we didn't see eye to eye on some things. And, you know, we had forgiveness. Sometimes players do things, say things, we say things, do things that we don't see eye to eye on. But the mark of a true team is being a family. You forgive and you move on, you move forward. And I think those five words sum up our season.
Coach, straight no chat. I know this is tough for you, man, but I'm a, you know, but I'm gonna let you give it a shot.
Well, I got two words. I come up with is prayer, because we pray a lot. And leadership, Coach CJ and I, you know, this is probably our most stressful year together. I think he was tired of me, and sometimes I was tired of him. But you know, I think his leadership, in spite of, you know, we had issues. We had a lot of issues that we never confronted before. And we questioned whether some of our girls were committed to what we were doing. But he kept pushing, and we didn't fall apart. So I think prayer and leadership was probably the main thing that kept us going. And Deja Lawrence, I might add.
Crazy she don't get her.
Coach Badgett.
I would say humble, strong-willed. We had a lot of accountability measures. We had some, you know, discipline down the stretch, and we had, you know, some huge obstacles, and so those would be my five words. I think the obstacles kind of showed themselves early. You know, my dad coming up in Reesville would say, "Son, I don't care about it being snakes in the grass as long as I know where they are." Mm-hmm. And fortunately for us, they showed early enough to where it didn't just take over the team. And then the leadership of our core group and their togetherness, being humble, and you could see in the, if you see the clip of the state championship game and you can explain to me why we won, I give you $100. Because there's no explanation for that play. If you look at that play, we miss a shot, we knock the offensive rebound out of our teammate's hand, it rolls across the court. Another kid kicks it. It rolls through two kids' legs to Gregory, who took the original shot, and he lays it in with 2 seconds to go.
Yeah.
So that was me and Kirby drew up a great play.
It was your time.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what you got to get the kids you can play. And I said it, you know, after the game, when you're in a state, when you get to that part of the season, the games are going to be different. What you did in the regular season, all that stuff, it doesn't matter. You got to be together, and you got to be for each other for you to have that end result. And, you know, our ability to stay disciplined and different things that we learned from the Godfathers here that we stick to. And I think some of them, like Coach was saying, times have changed, but some of these things we can't afford to give up.
Right.
You know, and so one of the things, Kirby, you don't throw up a three sign when you hit a three-pointer playing for us. Otherwise, you run the next day for an hour.
Yep.
Okay. Well, when we played for a championship game, great team we were playing against. Kid hits a three at the start of the game, he starts playing the banjo. I told Kirby, I said, they're not disciplined.
Right.
Something's going to go our way because they're not disciplined. You know, so those are the type of things that we went through this year. That it was a special season, and, you know, just blessed and thankful to be a part of it with a great group of kids, and thankful to represent these guys, because at the end of the day, that's where it comes from. Gary Sargent, I mean, we're talking 30 years of
just, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, man.
Hall of Fame.
And so to And they're always there for you. And mm-hmm. listen, that, you know, it's one of the things too that, you know, true friendship or true, say, fatherhood, because that's really what it is, to where I don't have to call him every day. But if I need him, I know he's going to be there. And I don't have to call him every day, but if I need him, I know he's going to be there. It could be something little. When we talked one day because I need a girls' Christmas tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, exactly. It could be anything. I just know he's gonna, they're going to always be there. Yeah. And I know they always watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's an accountability measure for us, because we can't disrespect them. Mm. A lot of people don't understand that, but we can't. I can't go out there and look crazy and do certain things and act crazy on the sideline. That's why I had to wear a suit.
Well, no, hold on. I want to say something about that before C said what he had to say. He talking about wearing a suit. I was going to mention this. When him, who was my man that coached with you when you started coaching with the Sonics?
Pulley.
Pulley. Mike Pulley.
Nobody wears suits to AAU basketball games. Nobody. These dudes, they were suited and booted.
Yes, sir. That's a new
hot.
Man, we were working for Sonic Automotive at the time, so we was having to leave the dealership and head to the game. So, man, you had time to
That ain't the way I saw.
Coach CJ, bring us home. Baby.
My five would be friendship, brotherhood, stressful, athletic director, and Deja Lawrence. and I don't know if this word, but I also want to put in there JV, because JV revived my career, because this year we didn't have a JV coach. I coached JV too, and they were so into whatever I said. If I'd have told them run across the street to the mall and back, they'd have done it. So they helped revive. They helped revive my career. But I think the big piece would be this friendship and trust. For me, being able to trust the process, and because it was a stressful year. But the reward was beating Vance.
Lord mercy.
I know they listen. I told them something after the game.
True coach.
We don't have to win no more games. We beat Vance.
True coaches. This is always it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys, you know, coming on the program. I appreciate, you know, what you guys contribute to, not only to the game, but to the young men and women. You know, to your teams, to the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and as I always say, you know, stay with it, you know, stay on it. Everybody, this has been Beyond Winning. We have been here with this is almost like a Mount Rushmore right here. You know, we got Coach Kirby, we got Coach Kerry Sargent, we got Coach Joe Badgen, we got Coach CJ Johnson. Everybody, stay tuned. We're starting up season two. Find us on Twitter. We did an Instagram live feed. You know, find us on Facebook and drop us a line. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what you'd like to see. Tell us where we, you know, do a good job, and tell us where, you know, we need to improve every once in a while. But in any regard, just please tell us. And as I like to say, and I said this earlier, you know, stay with it and stay on it. This is Beyond Winning with Richard Lancaster. Take care, everybody. Beyond Winning. Beyond Winning.